I always get a kick, guys, when people kind of forget where they are for a minute. And like you said, Key, he's comfortable here, and it comes out. You know what I mean? It just all of a sudden you forget that, you know, this is commercial radio, and you got to, there's certain things you can and can't say, right?
No, it's all good, though. I mean, yeah. if you need any me to translate anything for you in any of that conversation, you just let me know, because I could.
I think I was all right.
Okay, because he said some stuff that I was sitting there saying to myself, I wonder if Travis caught on to that and understand what that means. And he just going with the flow. Acting like, yeah.
Well, I would be lying. I would be lying if I said I've never done that before. I have absolutely done that before, but I felt pretty good on that one.
Now, he was really breaking down some real talk. And one of the things that's interesting is that, you know, you're hearing more and more people also say, hey, Black Lives Matter. But don't forget, that's a statement for us, too. Now, we popping each other, too. And the very first march I participated in was about self-empowering for the Black people. And the second march I was in was about self-empowering for Black people. And the third I was against violence in my community for Black people. I didn't start marching for, you know, criminal justice reform and stuff until many years later.
Understood.
The issues we have in the Black community, you know, we can multitask. We can stop you from killing us, and we can also say you can stop killing each other.
There's no question. There's no question about that. But what I will say is, let's not start focusing in on that. You know, because that is kind of what the mainstream media is trying to push toward, saying, you know, oh, well, look over there. See. No. That I don't want to get caught up in that, because that. Yes. Is something that it happens in every community. It's happened in Hispanics community, Asian communities, white communities. Crime on crime is a crime regardless to what color you are. Okay? Well, yeah, blacks kill blacks, whites kill whites, Asians kill Asians, Mexicans kill Mexicans. It's not out of the norm. But
no,
to
it's
try
not.
To get off the Black Lives Matter movement and everything that we're dealing with and police brutality, to start focusing in on that is what they're trying to do to you. But let me stop
I got you, Key. And the reason why I brought it up in this example is because we were just talking among us's. And among
When it comes from the outside. Comment.
Yeah, when it comes from the outside, or you got a fool like Terry Crews yapping off in the mouth about some BS, then yeah, you need to call that out for what it is. But when we chill and just rap it amongst each other, I think it's perfectly fine to just kind of remind each other about the whole menu and not just some of the main course.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks again to Warren G for coming on with us a couple of minutes ago. Patrick Mahomes got a huge deal yesterday, guys.
Nearly
$500 million dollars, the biggest contract in American sports history. I'm not talking who else would you give a $500 million to. That's not the question. My question is this. Is there anybody you would feel better about giving a 10-year contract to than Patrick Mahomes? Is there somebody else you say, I have to do business with this person for 10 years and I need to pay them at the absolute top of the market for a decade? Is there anybody that's a better bet than Patrick Mahomes?
There's a few. I could. Are we talking football only?
No, just sports.
There's two in basketball that come to mind. There's three in basketball that come to mind.
Who do you have?
There's AD, there's Zion, and there's Giannis. Those three. I mean, you could go Jason Tatum. You can go
And AD. Zion's injury history and Zion's body lead me 10 years is a big swing.
Yeah, I'm not doing that with Zion.
No, I said you could. I didn't say you had to. I said you could. Right?
No, I can't.
You got Tatum. AD.
You got AD, you got Tatum, Giannis. You got Giannis, Ben Simmons.
No.
I wouldn't do Ben Simmons. I would. Man, they were
But he couldn't shoot. He couldn't shoot in high school. You act like it just became a thing a week ago.
Giving away money.
The thing with Patrick Mahomes is that you're not paying for what he is. You're paying for what he can become.
Yes,
and when I look at Ben Simmons, I'm like going, okay, if you couldn't shoot in high school, and here we are, past a year in college, and we're still not here to shoot.
But we didn't draft you to shoot.
But if I'm spending,
you're a floor general. You're supposed to be a Magic.
if I'm doing 10 years, I don't want any holes in the resume. If I'm buying a 10-year guy, I need that resume to be completely filled.
I hope that
filled.
Damn there, button gets stuck.
Here's a guy. I'll tell you another guy, because we kind of lose track of him for a couple of different reasons, but a guy that is very young and has already accomplished more or less everything there is to do in this game other than win a championship, and he's gotten close twice. Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger is really young.
Yeah.
He is a guy that seems to, that swing is not going anywhere. He's athletic. He plays multiple positions. He's already won an MVP. He's been on two World Series appearing teams. That Cody Bellinger, if I had to say pick a guy 10 years, and Mike Trout is a better baseball player than Cody Bellinger.
So I'm taking
Bellinger over Trout if I got to do it for 10 years.
So you're betting he plays better in the playoffs?
Because you've
seen him improve, and that's the thing.
In the playoffs, he ain't really. I mean, he made one play in the playoffs in 2 years, man. So stop.
Well, he was NLCS.
That one play, man. Come on now. Let's be real with each other. Yeah. We gonna keep it 100.
I'm gonna keep it 100 with you there. He did not win because of one play.
Right.
Now, he didn't bat the way that we wanted him to bat. But he did a whole bunch of other things. And
man, he dove for that one ball, and that was
Look, he has not performed well in the World Series, but he has performed well in the postseason outside of the World Series. And his resume as a player, does he hit well? Yes. Does he hit for power? Yes. Does he run well? Yes. Does he play high-level defense? Yes. He actually does it at more than one position. Is he young enough? And this is why Patrick Mahomes is such a good bet, that Patrick Mahomes is 24 years old. Cody Bellinger's in his early 20s as well. This is a guy that if I have to buy now till his early 30s, Bellinger's about as good of a bet as you can find. And
he's not a good bet. I think that's a good bet too. But let's not – if we betting on everything. We ain't betting on regular season, because regular season is cool, but we don't want regular season performances. We want postseason performances.
I understand that. But if a guy – has won an NLCS MVP, regardless of how you characterize it, that proves he's done something in the postseason too.
Yes.
And that means he's trending in the right direction.
I mean, I guess Nick Foles was the Super Bowl MVP, but anyway, I'll leave that argument up to you.
Yeah, but Nick Foles doesn't have the resume, Key. There are plenty of guys that win an MVP in a series that are not great players. It happens pretty frequently. In fact, it happens as often as it doesn't happen.
But guys that have full resumes and
win an MVP, those are very, very rare.
Much less guys that do it at 24. For me to give him a 10-year deal, though, and bet that right now on him, I got the same reservation as I would have about a Ben Simmons. I don't know that I would do it. I would do it, but I don't know that I want to. AD is a hands down, and Giannis is a hands down. You know, you want 15 years, no problem. We'll do it. That's that conversation. But the Cody Bellinger and Ben Simmons conversation is can we wait another 6 months to make a decision?
On the face of the facts, Cody Bellinger is far more accomplished than Ben Simmons. It's not even close.
It's not even close. That's like apples to jalapeno peppers.
You got that from me. But
is there anybody in football? Is there anybody? I mean, is Lamar Jackson? Is Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun's close. He's close.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know off the top of my head, but just based upon the fact that these guys tend to last a long time. I'm assuming left tackle and center. There's some outstanding ones who are young that, 10 years from now you can see, still being highly productive.
There's a young left tackle or two, I'm sure, in the league that you would maybe not go out to 10, but you would go out far on. But for the most part, Mike Trout's already done. Bryce Harper's already done.
Let me throw this one out at
Mookie
you.
Mookie Betts, what, I would do
I was
with.
Just going to say, Key, that's the guy. But here's the thing. Here's the rub with Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts turns 28 in 2 months. So now you're buying years 36, 7, and 8.
Well, see, he ain't young. At 28, he ain't young.
But you're doing the same thing with AD. AD is just turned 27.
Yeah, but basketball is different, though.
Basketball is harder.
No, but see, Hoops is different because he's a footer.
Seven-footer, though?
And his skill set allow him to do so many different things with the ball on the court. And he can play defense. If he ain't never got a shoot, he can just play defense. Where in baseball, to pay that type of money, you're gonna have to bat well. You're going to have to still be the leadoff guy hitting 290, 300 to get that money later on in your career. With basketball, he could just be a big standing in the middle and play.
I'm sure you guys saw this, that Mookie said he does not have any regrets for not signing the reported $300 million extension from the Red Sox. But knowing where we are right now, that we're in a pandemic, knowing that the baseball economics are terribly uncertain, you think he'd want that one back if he could?
No, because
not really, because once you – oh, it was $300
with the Red Sox.
Oh, no, I thought you – yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm gonna let it play out because eventually the pandemic gonna be over.
But what if the next one's 150 or 175 or something like that?
I'm betting on myself though. I'm betting on myself because if you basing it on being in Boston and that's not where you wanted to be, then you got the answer right there. You didn't want to play for him no matter what the money was.
Well, if that's the case, then it's a no-brainer. But if it was just I think I can do better on the open market, I want to wait and see, and now all of a sudden the market has drastically changed. And baseball, we just saw him fight over a season that was really not even a season. Imagine
why is the market changing, though? Is the market changing because I'm a bad player? Is the market changing
No, the market's changing
pandemic?
Because the owners are colluding. We've seen it over and over the last couple of seasons. I mean, we know Harper and Machado have got big deals. Trout's got a big deal, but it's changing, man.
Yeah,
all those guys that you just named got their money, and all of them was considered at the top of their positions in the game. So if he's considered the top position in the game, I'm assuming he's going to get his money too.
All right. If Mookie's going to get paid, you can get paid, Key, if you up your Instagram game. You got to get some more followers. I'll explain. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
That's our – over in a minute.
Yeah, you're going to do a remix. Remix coming.
Remix!
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We'll see, right? We will see.
I'm about to hit him up right now. I'm just going to put remix. Yep. I'm just going to say remix.
Longer.
What up, Cal? Did that for us right at the beginning of quarantine. We've had that for a while. So, yeah, we'll probably do for a variety of reasons. We'll probably do with some sort of remix. You got to come up with some stuff.
We done been through some stuff.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed, we have. You can
what
get
rhymes
a
with
whole
Marcellus?
Bunch of you can get a whole bunch of money. That's pretty funny. I like that a lot.
Lettuce. Bacon, lettuce, tomato.
Okay.
By the way, don't sleep on that sandwich. That's a pretty darn good sandwich if you do it right. Put a little avocado on there. Maybe fry those tomatoes a little bit. That's pretty darn good.
The bacon got to be right, though. You can't mess with no paper thin bacon.
Got to be thick, and it's got to be crispy.
And it's got to be crispy.
Yeah,
but it's got to hear that crunch.
And it's got to fill up the bread. You know, it's got to be nice slices. It can't be. I done have some weak BLTs. It's like, man, what y'all giving me?
Yeah, no, it's got to be fat with bacon, and the tomato needs to be right. Especially if you guys had the one with the fried green tomatoes on it.
No, I haven't had that one.
Oh my goodness,
that sounds good.
It's incredible.
But see, that sounds like more pressure for people because bacon's already got to be right. Now you got to make sure that the fried green tomatoes are right. That's a lot of right. You got to handle.
I can't find a fried green tomato in L.A. that's right. Every time I go to a restaurant and get it, it's wrong. They don't act like it's just not right.
There's a place here that does them that's really good.
But is it in cornmeal or is it in batter?
It's in cornmeal.
Okay. And it's got to be right, though, Travis. And the hot sauce has got to be right. Don't be having me messing around. You think it's cornmeal when it's really batter.
I always get nervous, Travis, when someone's getting ready to give me something and they say it's our take on. So I don't want your take on fried green tomatoes. I want.
It is a fried.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not a deconstructed fried green tomato. It's not our take on a fried green tomato. It is.
Man, I went to a restaurant downtown.
Is the hot sauce next to it Red Rooster or is it Tabasco?
I think there's both, actually. You can kind of
do it.
Well,
it might be right then. It might be right.
I went to this soul food restaurant in San Francisco, man, that my mentee really wanted to go to because all his friends went to it. And so I got in there and I was like, oh, this is cool, blah, 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 blah. And the concierge or whoever the person up front says, yeah, it's a Martin take on soul food. I was like, see, I ain't here for your takes. I don't want no damn takes.
Nope. You asked for a cornbread muffin and they roll out a roll.
Well, look, it's the take. Only thing worse than our take on is a deconstructed blankety bear. Don't deconstruct
a damn thing.
Yeah,
it was constructed that way for a perk. Exactly. Yeah.
I came in here for your finished construction project, not so you could disassemble it for me. Get out of here.
Take that gumbo, some damn soup and rice. Man, please. What's up, Travis?
So here's the deal. Dwayne The Rock Johnson gets a little over $1 million every time he does a sponsored post on Instagram. Not for all of them, for one. One sponsored post gets him more than $1 million. That puts him at the top of the list. And when it comes to sponsored posts on Instagram, athletes are not the heavy hitters. That there's a couple athletes in the top 10, but the other eight, all either actors or just people that are famous for being famous.
Yeah, but because it's the followers, right? You're talking hundreds of millions of followers. Mm-hmm. You know, I would think in terms of athletes, LeBron James is in there. LeBron's not in there?
It's two soccer players. Ronaldo and Neymar.
I was going to say there was probably a couple soccer players. Mm-hmm. I would think LeBron James would be in there because of his followers. But I can see that. I mean, it's you know, when they cutting those deals, though, that's part of the deal. For this, we're going to do this, you know, and this is the endorsement for part of the movie. And when you're promoting the movie, we're going to pay you X amount on the marketing budget, so you need to do X amount of posts. I mean, it happens like that all the time when you're doing these deals. But your follow game got to be up. Now, you can't just be getting into the game and think you're getting ready to get 80 million followers and stuff like that. Now, Ron Johnson's been doing this since they invented social media. I mean, he got on it early, and so did the Kardashian girls. They got on it early. They ain't just start the account today. So anybody
out
there
thinking, the Kardashians are two of the top four. Kylie Jenner is number two. Kim Kardashian is number four.
Yeah, and how many? In all honesty, though, how many of their endorsers is actually paying them to tweet out opposed to, marketing campaigns? All that is part of it. They're not coming to them and saying, we're going to give you $5 million for five tweets.
Let me ask you guys this. That I understand it works or else people wouldn't pay for it. But do you guys see sponsored posts on your social media and say, ooh, I want to go get that or buy that or look at that or see that or taste that? Does that have
all the time?
Do you really?
All the time. Yeah, all the time. I've gotten quite a few things from a sponsored post because it just raised my awareness. Like, I didn't know certain things were even options. And I was like going, oh, that's cool. That's kind of what I'm looking for. The only danger, of course, particularly when you're dealing with like a Facebook, for instance, is that the algorithms quickly pick up on what you're interested in. And then your entire feed gets flooded with those sponsored posts that are like what you originally were looking for. So while I do like doing that, what I tend to do now, guys, is I'll get hit up with a post, but then I'll go and search off of social media in a normal search engine so that automatic connection isn't there and Mark Zuckerberg can't use my information and send it off to people.
Yeah, I don't.
I got my eye on you, dude. You're about two more clicks away from being deleted from my phone. Just let you know, Mark.
I don't tend to pay attention to any of that stuff. If I see it, I just don't. I'm a little different than LZ.
You're a lot different.
Well, yeah, that too. I tend to see things and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, I don't, you know, it's not in my wheelhouse, let's say.
Well, me neither, Keith. Like, for instance, if one of you guys said to me, hey, Trav, I think you would like this restaurant or I think you would like this movie, you should go see this, I'd go do it. Like, that personal connection to me is all the recommendation I need. It's those things on social media that you see. It's like, okay, I get that The Rock is into it, but what – The Rock doesn't know what I like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not eating what The Rock eat. And I'm not wearing – I'm not dressing like The Rock. You know, it's like – so I – but I understand the marketing side of it. I get it. But I'm just not one that follows the influence part of – social media. It doesn't just doesn't well, do it,
it, well, it truly is no different than a television commercial or a magazine print ad or anything else. I mean, it truly isn't.
It's not at all. You're right, LZ, but it's who it's coming from, I guess. Right? I mean, like, yeah.
Well, I ain't following The Rock. Not that I'm protesting or anything like that, but I'm grown and
well, it's not necessarily even The Rock I'm talking about. I'm just talking about
in general
what things are coming from. Like for instance, you know, you could see for many years they had the Instagram models taking pictures of a beach and you look at it and you go, man, that beach looks good. Man, ain't nowhere but on the corner. They down there telling you it's somewhere in the islands, it's on the damn corner of Palos Verdes somewhere. And they making you think, so you don't even know really what you're getting. That's why I always go, man.
You know what's funny? So when I had my deal with Manny, and, you know, I was, you know, essentially asked to do these posts and things like that, you know, I made sure that the car was always in the right spot, looking hot, and I'm all like, oh, can't get to the grocery store without my Manny. You know, hashtag sponsored, hashtag minis or biggies, hashtag this, hashtag that. And you do feel a little bit silly, but then someone will hit you. But then, like, someone will hit you up, and, like, someone from, like, the company is, like, going, oh, well, you know, three people, you know, bought cars because of your ad. And you're, like, going, damn, people really do follow like that. And so you almost feel like I can see why certain people have, like, an inflated sense of themselves, because if you know in real time you have that kind of influence, it is like a head trip. And I can see why, like, the Jenners, for instance, or the Kardashians feel like they can go out and become president and stuff.
For instance, LZ, even people that don't know you feel like they know you because of who you are, because of the way that you present yourself, because of the way you talk on this show or go on CNN or all of the other things you do. Like, you got to get to know you and what you're about and what you stand for. The celebrity thing is just kind of lost on me, the way that a personal endorsement from somebody that has your brand, for instance, is not. Like, I never met you, I'd kind of have an idea of what lane you're in before I'd ever even spoken to you.
I don't know if you know time, exactly what time.
I am offended, Travis. I demand an apology.
Yeah, right. All right. The Dodgers schedule is out. The good news is the Dodgers got a great schedule. The bad news is they don't even have their entire team in camp yet. We'll explain next. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. You want the good news or the bad news first?
I want the bad
news.
I would like to end on a good note.
All right. The bad news is that Kenley Jansen is not in camp. Pedro Baez is not in camp. We've got AJ Pollock not in camp. Gavin Lux is not in camp. And no one is saying why, which leads you to believe we all know why. Because until everyone has signed off on the protocols about notifying people, you can't say anything publicly. Dave Roberts is not saying anything publicly other than he expects them to be there eventually. That this is the trouble with the reboot, that even though we have a schedule of games, we do not have the full complement of players when it comes to the Dodgers, and really anybody else for that matter.
So now, what's the good news?
The good news is the Dodgers are going to win a whole bunch of games even without those guys, because they don't play anybody good. In the 60 games they play, only three teams they're going to play through that 60-game schedule had a winning record last year. Six of the other teams. They play nine different teams through 60 games. Six of them had a losing record last year. They're going to clean up in this schedule.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of it. The schedule is such that the Dodgers should be able to just roll through it. But the concerns, I guess, with a lot of people is where they are at the start of the season, right? You're only 60 games, and 60 games is not halfway through a normal regular baseball season. So you worry about if they can start off fast and not give up any ground, because if you lose 20 of those 60 games, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, I'm saying if you start to lose some of those first 20, like, let's say you lose, you know, 10 of them, and now all of a sudden you 10 and 10 at the 20 mark, it looks different. It feels different. So you want to make sure you get off to a fast start. I personally think that Dave Roberts will do one of his better managing jobs, because he's going to have to make certain adjustments, and you got to rely on the managers now even more than you ever have before in Major League Baseball. And this is when the smarts of a guy like this, who's played the game, knows how to use it.
I am a little nervous, I'm not going to lie, about getting fat on a week schedule. It's like going to the gym. You can bench 225, but you keep doing 115 because you like all the reps and looking like you're strong. And then you try to get to that 225, you're like, maybe I should have spent more time struggling with the heavy weights. I'm just a little nervous that we're spending way too much time with weak teams in this 60-game stretch. And when that heavyweight comes, it may – I'm not saying it's going to knock us out, but it might knock us back, and I don't want that because anything can happen in the postseason.
Here's what they've got cooking. They're going to play the Padres, who lost 92 games last year. They're going to play the Giants, who lost 85, the Rockies, who lost 91, the Mariners, who lost 94, the Rangers, who lost 84, and the Angels, who lost 90. And part of the craziness of a short schedule was, hey, look, if you go cold at the wrong time, it can cost you. You're not going to go cold against these teams because you're not playing Atlanta. You're not playing Washington or the Cardinals or Milwaukee or the Chicago Cubs. Part of the reason you go cold in a stretch is that you start to play a little bit less than your best and you're playing against pretty good teams. The next thing you know, you look up, you lost 5-7 because you had a road trip where you had to go through, let's say, Atlanta and D.C. And you're playing a good team. You lose 5-7. It's like, uh-oh. You're not going to lose 5-7 to these teams. They're not any good. You're going to be able to go through these teams because the Padres are not very good. The Mariners are legitimately bad. The Angels are a little bit better than their record because they're going to have Otani. They added Rendon. But this is a team that lost 90 games a year ago. You don't fix that in the snap of a finger. The scary part, I think, is whether or not they're going to have their full complement of guys when it comes time to go, whether or not you'll be able to get those guys ready to go because they're missing. And, you know, a pretty healthy handful of Kenley Jansen's an important piece. Pedro Baez is an important piece. Gavin Lux is an important piece. And those guys aren't even in camp. And the season starts in a little bit more than 2 weeks. That's basically around the corner.
It is around the corner. But I think that whatever the situation is with the guys that are not in camp, there's certainly, you know, some reasoning behind it. I mean, it's not – because they're holding out or because they're thinking about maybe, you know, opting out. I think if that was the case, they probably would already say that. I think it's health conditions and worried about the, you know, the virus and things of that nature, which certainly could potentially ease that as they continue to get going and they realize that no Dodger players are, you know, coming up positive. Now you start to feel better and maybe they get them back into the end of camp to get ready to start the regular season. That's what I would hope.
I would definitely hope. It's just this whole not having the tests ready and people still waiting for results thing, that really concerns me because it forces you to make one or two decisions. Either the league that spends more money on any athlete than any other league is deep down inside incompetent when it comes to logistics, or they're purposely delaying this because they're worried that things may not start off without a hitch. And they're creating purposely scenarios where things can be delayed in terms of the start. Because when you look at the list of reasons why guys are waiting for their test results, and you see things like MLB was blindsided essentially by the 4th of July and FedEx doesn't pick up on this weekend, you're like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, that makes no sense at all. At all.
No, it doesn't. And then there's the variable that we talked with Jorge Castillo, who covers the Dodgers for the LA Times. We were talking with him earlier. David Price has already opted out. And David Price isn't a megastar in the league, but he's not nobody either. And then you've got a guy like Chris Bryant, who is a star in this league, saying, I don't love the feeling of this. Freddie Freeman, who's a multiple time All-Star, has already tested positive. One of his teammates, Nick Markakis, said, man, I talked to him. I'm out. I don't need this to be. Ian Desmond has said that I'm out for a variety of reasons. And Mike Trout is saying, look, my wife's about to have her first baby ever. I don't know if I want to be going in and out of hotels, in and out of buses, in and out of ballparks, and potentially bringing this back home to my new baby or my wife who just had our first kid. That you've got some names here that if all of a sudden they decide, you know what, I don't know if this is for me. That's a whole nother issue, because while baseball isn't driven by stars the way that maybe the NBA or even the NFL is, if Mike Trout and Mookie Betts and Chris Bryant and who knows how many other guys say, you know what, I'm just out, that's a whole different sort of problem about whether or not you can go again.
Well, I think in terms of opting out, I think it'll be more of the guys that have the big money contracts already that got to free agency, where guys like Mookie Betts, who needs this year to get to free agency, most likely will play. It'll be kind of hard, I think, for those guys to pass up an opportunity to get a registered season under their belt so they could be free agents. So I don't know how many of those type – like Cody Bellinger, for instance, isn't going to hit free agency. So he needs to be able to play to get that accredited season so that he – get closer to free agency, that who is a star in Major League Baseball. Most of the guys are young that are the stars that don't have the big money contracts. The big money contract guys, they may sit, but are they truly the star players? I mean, like, you know, are they your stars? The older money guys?
Yeah, well, Trout certainly is. And
well, you got Trout, you got Bryce Harper, you got Trout, Bryce Harper, maybe a handful, but it's a lot. So Aaron Judge, for instance. Mm-hmm. He needs this season to
get he's still waiting for his contract. He's still absolutely waiting for it. Crosstalk with George Sedano is coming up next. George's going to check in with us coming up here in just a little bit. I'm very curious to see whether or not he's one of those guys that looks into the backseat of his car, whether it's for snakes or people or anything else, because Key, that you are, doesn't surprise me. Elsie, you never really gave us an answer to that, whether or not you're looking in that backseat to see if somebody's lying in wait for you.
I'm the one that corrected you guys to make sure that you were doing it before you got in the car. So
you always want to take a peek, a sneak peek, and just kind of glance at it. Because I don't need nobody talking about just drive straight. Don't say anything.
Well,
and that's if you're lucky.
Have you ever had that moment where you're driving and you think you see something in the rearview mirror and you have that moment like, oh, my God, there's somebody in the car? It's terrifying, much less having actually somebody in there.
I drive a Prius, so it's pretty small, and I can see pretty good inside. You know, my windows are pretty big, and when I look in there, I can tell if somebody's in there because it's a small vehicle. But, yes, right. I do want to look in the back seat just to take a sneak peek.
George, before you get in the car, before you go to drive wherever it is that you're going to drive, do you take a look through that back window to make sure that there's nobody hiding back there?
No, but only because when I get in the car, I usually look in the car anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like if there was somebody there, I would see them as I'm approaching the car.
Yeah, so that's basically a yes. You go.
But they can be
well,
down.
I don't. Yes, yes, and no.
In the back.
Yeah, yes and no. But I mean, when you're like, for example, like if
you don't have 10 on your windows, right?
Only the back, but I could still see, they're not dark enough where I can't see through it, especially if I'm outdoors. So, like, if I'm at, like, a parking lot and I walk up to the car, like, I'm seeing the car. Like, I can see into the car both in the front and the back. I do check the back, too. I do that, yes. But I don't get in the car and turn around because I see it before I walk in.
Yeah, more or less you looking as you walking toward it, you kind of –
correct.
You know, looking, if you're coming from somewhere late at night or early in the morning, you're going to take a look in the back seat.
Well, to your point, Key and LZ, what I would say is I think because and Travis, I think this is also a cultural thing, right? Like, I think we all grew up differently. We've all discussed this before.
Yes.
But the three of us maybe grew up in neighborhoods where you had to kind of look over your shoulder every once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
No, see, that's what I was saying, George, is that I am not a generally fearful person. Like, I'm not worried about getting, you know, somebody coming into my house in the middle of the night, for instance. But that fear in particular of somebody lying in wait in the backseat of the car, I do have that one. I do check every
time. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, you know what's so funny? He doesn't want to hear, look straight ahead and don't say anything.
So last night I was taking a little work break and Taken was on and I hadn't seen the first Taken in years.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was like, man, I would have left her ass over there. I told you to stay in this hotel. I told you to call me when you land. And now you've been kidnapped. And this is another situation where a hard head makes a soft behind.
Right. By the way, how do you think he felt after Taken 2 and 3?
He could keep 2 and 3. 1 was cool, but then when you start jumping over buildings and hopping from building to building, I'm like, come on, this is one of them. I ain't got nothing else to do in the hotel room. This is on for free.
Well, like at a certain point, don't you just assume she ran away?
Yeah. Like, it just,
right.
Well, at a certain point, shouldn't she have learned her lesson and started to look in the back seat of the car?
Right. I mean, well, the fourth one will just be called Took. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
And the reason we even bringing this up, because it was a story out of an Australian newspaper that a – what was it? A venom
– an Eastern brown snake, a venomous snake was in
very
the car.
Venomous.
Yes.
Was in the car of someone when he got in, and he was driving down the highway going, I guess it was really fast.
Yeah.
Once he saw the snake, he accelerated, and unfortunately, he didn't get into an accident, and the snake died, and he killed it or something. But that's why we were bringing up the conversation.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, speaking of animals in your car, you know, they say that during the pandemic that there's been a lot of people – you know, that haven't used their cars very often or clearly nearly as much as they used to. But you got to be careful with that because rats can nest in your engine because it's
absolutely
warm.
Oh. It's so gross. Yeah. Oh, my God. That happened
you know
to my
what?
Range
Honestly,
Rover. That happened to my Rover probably, I don't know, man, this was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And we couldn't figure out what the hell a smell was.
Right.
And we took it and we tried, we took it to service. They did everything. I eventually had to get rid of the car because they could not get the smell out of the engine.
And it Maybe was, the snake it was coming, in there to eat the rats.
It was coming through the vents. It was disgusting.
Yeah, that's why you need the snake to eat the rats. That's a great point, Trevor.
Well, okay, so you're driving down the road and you look over at the passenger seat. Would you rather see a nest of rats or a poisonous snake?
Well, definitely, I don't care. I mean, if I had to choose one over the other, I would choose the mice. But, I mean, there
Not
is
mice, no rats.
Rats,
rats got teeth like you, George.
I mean, over a snake, though, I'd much rather have the rats with the snake. I feel like I could fight off the rats much easier than I could fight off the snake. By the way, recently, the other day, I was driving from the grocery store, and I decided, it was a nice day, so I put the sunroof down. I'm at a red light, and a bee comes into through the car, and I'm like trying to swat the bee, and people are honking at me because I'm in the left turn lane, and I was just like, listen, man, y'all can honk all you want. I'm getting rid of this day. I'm killing this bee before I move this car because that is not happening.
There is a bee shortage, George. How can you do that?
Hey, listen. You know
him
I mean?
Or me, LZ.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Was it a 10-foot bee? We mean him or me. This is a little thing.
I mean, hey, if he wasn't stinging me, I wasn't letting him do it.
No, so
I'm watching this Yankees inter squad scrimmage game.
Who's umpiring that game, by the way? Is that
that's
player?
What I was about to say. I was about to ask you, who the hell is the ump? He asked him. He was really into it.
Maybe it's Aaron Boone. He's back there ringing guys up. He's in uniform. I like it.
It looks weird, though. It looks weird.
It looks, at least the Yankees have enough guys to put on the field, unlike some other teams, and who knows if the Dodgers get enough guys as well. Sedano Show coming up next.
Sedano Show.
On the morning show, 710 ESPN.